Did you miss the headline and the top story of the day?
Extra, extra, read all about it.
Don't worry, because we got you covered.
This is how we do.
It's the Cattles and Rami
Top Spot.
All right, let's start with YouTube. Some YouTube reaction here at the Top Spot. We were just talking about the bean, and Rami thinks I have no fun in life because I think you should not chant "light the beam" too early. Zombie Head Soldiers is getting to what I was getting to, but they get to it much better than I did. Rami doesn't understand that if the crowd chants too early and you lose, then the beam loses a ton of power. The beam will become a mockery if you chant and lose.
No, it won't.
Yes, I agree with that.
Yep. You guys are overthinking things.
No.
It's just a chant. Nobody even remembers you chanted it after the game's over.
Dude, if you chant that and the team comes back that you're playing and beats you,
then you know what you do.
On national television.
You know what you do? Next game, you chant it again. That's what you do.
Well, that's what you do.
Yes.
Not what I do.
I'm
don't tell me what I would do.
Indomitable.
You're no boss of me, Rami Makhlouf.
I'd feel stupid as hell if I went out there and there's no beam after I yelled, "light the beam" all night.
I'd be okay. I'd sleep fine that night. I don't care.
Yeah.
It's a stupid thing.
I totally believe it.
It's a stupid, meaningless thing.
Uh-oh.
Sports don't matter.
Take it back before we get canceled.
You better take that back before our show plummets.
And we have no thumbs.
We've been getting some good ratings lately. You might have just ruined it all.
Don't twist my... You know what I mean. Don't twist the meaning of what I'm saying. It doesn't matter.
Four thumbs down.
It doesn't matter when you scream "light the beam." If you're having fun chanting "light the beam," you should be chanting. That's the rule. That's the only rule to chanting "light the beam." You having fun doing it? Do it.
Text line. I almost never agree with Nick.
That's a good thing.
No, it's a
bad thing. You should keep doing that.
Except in this case. A minute left and the game is at hand. Yes, you can chant it. Don't chant too early. Don't get all cocky.
Get cocky. Get cocky. I like the cockiness of Kings fans coming out.
All right, let's talk
about
this.
That might be my favorite part about it, to be honest with you. Go ahead, puff your chest out. Feel yourself a little bit.
Young AT on YouTube says, let's cancel this show. So Young AT is in favor of canceling the show.
God, what have we done?
See what happens, Rami? You see what you did? Last night, and the Kings, they handled their business. Now, it wasn't always great. It wasn't always fun. Right? They made it a little tight there, a little too tight for my liking after being up as comfortably as they were up. But Rami, one of the major takeaways from last night, and this is something we talked about before the game last night here on the show, the idea of when you're on TNT, this is a massive opportunity for the franchise, right? This is you promoting the brand, you promoting the Kings, the roster, the franchise, the coaching staff. And I thought you could feel that watching, halftime and watching the post game with the guys on TNT waxing poetic about how this Kings team is good. That's how you promote. And I'm not talking about selling tickets. I'm talking about selling other players in the league someday. They're looking at this. They're watching these games. They're going, wow, the light the beam thing's kind of cool. Wow, that crowd sounds like it's bananas. Wow, these guys are actually really fun when it comes to, offensive play, and maybe I could fit in. This is how you get there. You get on the national map and you start pumping that promotion. And I thought it was a really good night as far as that goes.
It goes a long way when your city, your organization is someplace guys want to play. I forget the name of the podcast. Keegan Murray was on some podcast last week. And he was talking about how he sort of embraced the challenge of ending this playoff drought. And he said he talked to other rookies who were like, "Man, I don't want to go. I don't want anything to do with that." You know what I mean? Because it does. It has that cloud hanging over it. And that's draft picks where they don't really have a choice where they're going to go. When you talk about free agents, even trades where guys have some say over where they can go, this is what I'm talking about when I say laying the foundation of what Mike Brown is trying to do here of changing who the Kings are, both who they are and who they're perceived to be around the NBA world.
And when you're an entertaining team like this team is, I think you're going to get more shots moving forward. Because, you know, you met that level last night. You met the level of expectations. If you watch that game last night, this team was exactly what this team has been pretty much all year long. De'Aaron Fox strong in the fourth quarter. Domas, triple-double. You look at Lyles and Monk, which we'll get to in a minute. Their production off the bench. HB coming up with big plays, you know, late in the game. And so I think TNT and ESPN, they're looking at these games and they're looking at these teams and they're saying to themselves, all right, these guys are viable. This is a fun game. People will watch the Kings because they're a fun brand of basketball. They score. They shoot. They're up and down the floor. They play with good pace. And that does mean something when it comes to television because, you know, yes, big market's number one. We know we're not going to be a big market, right? However, the second part of that is, do you have stars? And do you play good basketball and fun basketball that people will want to watch? I said my buddy Jimmy earlier in the show, right? He texted me last night asking me about the Kings.
Jimmy
Lewis. he wanted to, you know, watch the game because he'd heard a lot about the team. And that does mean something. That does get you further along the road when you talk about legit NBA franchise. Also, this cannot be overlooked, and we've talked about it several times over the past few weeks. We've talked about it all year. Rami, this team continues to just respond.
Yep.
They keep on responding.
They show up for big moments. They meet challenges, whether it's a tough team, a tough situation. It's their coach calling them out, and he did it again after the big win last night.
Yep.
Whatever the challenge is that's in front of them, they time and time again are up to the challenge and answer the call. And that's one of the more impressive things about this team this year is how often they answer that call. And that's why, Nick, they don't stack losses. They've had two losing streaks of three games or more. One was four to open the season, and then they lost three in a row in November and haven't lost more than two in a row since then. I think that's part of why they're able to do that is they see the challenge in front of them and they run right through it. And I love that about this basketball team.
It is another reason why you have the best road record in the Western Conference at 18-13. The next closest team is Denver, and they're 16-15. You have a big cushion when it comes to road record, and we always talk about road record. If you win games on the road, you're a good team. You're a resilient team. You're a team that, as we were just talking about, responds. I mean, you look at the other teams that have good road records, the Bucks. 20-12. The Celtics, 20-12. The 76ers, 19-12. The Knicks, 20-13. They have a better record than you on the road, and you beat them
night. On the road.
So
took care of
you have a top five record in the NBA on the road, the best road record in the Western Conference. That is responding accordingly. That's what it is all about. That's what you look for, and that's what Coach Brown, I'm sure, is thrilled with.
And De'Aaron Fox, man, last night, I don't think I'm the only one who saw it. I saw other people saying this. There was something different about that dude last night. There was an edge in De'Aaron Fox. There was a cockiness in De'Aaron Fox last night that he's going to need to tap into to take this thing to yet another level. When I was back in my Milwaukee days, Nick, and watching the rise of Giannis, he came into the league and he was a baby, you know what I mean? And just this big, long, gangly person. And you saw, like, the skills come along. You saw the body fill out and the muscles come on. But the last piece for me where I was like, oh, okay, this guy has unlocked it. It was when he started dunking on people and then mean mugging while he was walking, running down to the other side of the court. You know what I mean? And you saw that nasty streak come out in him and just that will of I will not be stopped. I'm going to take this game over. I will not lose. And quite frankly, how dare you even challenge me or try to get in my way was the vibe, the aura that I was getting off De'Aaron Fox last night. And I haven't seen it to that degree yet this season. That was fun to watch that part of him come out that much more in that win last night on the national stage.
The other part of the resiliency is overtime. 4-0 in overtime. Not quitting, not giving up, responding when the legs are tired. You just keep continuing to play basketball. Another part of last night's game, Cattles and Rami Sacktown Sports, the balance. Rami, there were seven guys, not one, not three, not six, but seven guys finishing with 10 points or more. Malik Monk, again, he was good. 19 points, five dimes, five rebounds, only one turnover, which was my favorite number from Monk last night, taking care of the basketball. And man, oh man, I know I waxed poetic on this guy yesterday, I think it was, or earlier in the week. But give some love to Trey Lyles, 16-6 last night. Trey Lyles continues to play at a very high level considering what you're asking him to do. And I said it and I stand by it. You know, Davion has slid back to me as far as guys offensively. His defense is always going to be there. But Trey Lyles is now along with Monk as the top two guys to me coming off of this bench.
Agreed.
They're the most trustworthy dudes right now.
I agree, 100%.
So that balance is fantastic. And one more number I have for you.
Oh?
28 assists on 44 field goals. So, again, a really good number from the King.
That's pretty good. They had 18 assists on 27 made baskets in the first half.
Man, oh, man. Nice win. Your thoughts on the win? Feel free to give us a call. 1-800-920-1140 is the telephone number. Open phone lines for you this hour. Also, you can text us at 916-339-1140. Don't forget, you can visit us on YouTube, youtube.com/SacktownSports1140. We got a great website, sacktownsports.com. And if you want to listen to us anywhere, you can listen to us on the Sacktown Sports app. I remind you, Cosi Medical Clinic is dedicated to providing breakthrough remedies for men. Last night was an educational win for the Kings. I'll explain what I mean in 90 seconds. Tupac. We were talking about Brock Purdy. Before we get back to the Kings, we're talking about...
You really want to go back down this road?
Well, I already started talking about it.
Yeah, you did.
Can you handle yourself? Can we get through this quickly or...
No promises.
Ian Rappaport was talking about... Brock Purdy's elbow in glowing terms.
Beautiful.
It's a beautiful, beautiful elbow. They opened up that elbow and it was beautiful. Mm. And so got us talking about
what that elbow do.
What are you talking about that?
I'm on elbowhub.com.
And it led us down a road. And the text line 916-339-1140. He's got ligaments and he knows how to use them. He's got legs and he knows how to use them.
That's pretty good.
Oh my word.
Pretty good.
It's a Friday. It is absolutely a Friday. Fun night at G1C. Simone, you were there.
Why are you yelling at her?
I don't know. She was looking like she was busy. I wanted to get her attention. What was the vibe like in the G1C?
Oh, it was popping. My voice, you can hear it. It's a little raspy. It was loud. It was raucous. It was hopping.
Yeah. I've picked up on Simone. There's a theme when she goes out the night before. Have you picked up the theme?
Comfy, cozy.
I have not.
Day.
No. What?
There it is.
What?
Comfy, cozy.
I'm wearing sweats. Oh, I have
flannel. When she came back from her trip to L.A., very similar
outfit. You guys get the bare minimum from me.
I appreciate the transparency, though.
I saw like the jogging pants or whatever and the flannel shirt, and I was like,
"That's a girl who went out."
She had a good time last night at that basketball game. That's what our girl did last night. She had a good time.
I didn't know I was so transparent.
Oh my goodness. Text line.
Solve the puzzle.
Text line. I need someone to tell me this isn't my fault. I had season tickets for the last 10 years. Lost money almost every year. Ooh. Every in all caps. And I'm lower middle class. Still kept renewing because I knew all in caps, it would pay off eventually. Before this season, though, we looked at the numbers and could not justify renewing this year.
Mm.
So we didn't.
That's tough, man.
Wasn't that a terrible...
The Kings should do something.
The guilt has overwhelmed me.
Give this man some playoff tickets.
Please tell me there's nothing I could have done.
No, you made the right call, man. Gotta be... I mean... You gotta be a responsible adult sometimes. It's coming from me.
I was gonna say. If you want to take it from somebody, take it from this guy. So it was a great vibe at G1C last night. Nice win. But Coach Brown was not happy in the postgame.
It was a good win. Our guys found a way to get the win, but we were not good. I was extremely disappointed in our inability to box out, let alone rebound. Josh Hart just kicked our ass. He kicked our ass. Nobody put a body on him the entire night. I thought their physicality was great because it made us go one-on-one quite a bit throughout the course of the game and made us take difficult shots. I thought we didn't get a chance to get out in transition, A, because we couldn't come up with the rebound to get out to run and put pressure on them, so they had us playing a slow, walk-it-up paced game. And they were the ones that got out in transition. They outscored us 23-7. I mean, you could tell I'm a little frustrated.
By the way, before we move on with this, Big John YouTube chat says to that texter, probably the jinx if it makes you feel better.
Yeah.
So there you have it.
You should get some of the credit for what's going on.
So earlier I said that this team is beautifully predictable. I got another term for you. I think last night was an educational win. And what I mean by that, Rami, is you didn't do everything perfectly. That was not a flawless game. You were up comfortably at one point. You probably should have cruised. I tweeted last night, if it wasn't for defensive rebounding, you probably cruise in that game. You walk away with a 15-20 point win. So it wasn't a flawless game. But here's the good news. You won, right? And so if you could learn valuable lessons while winning, that's big. And that's what happened last night.
And we've said they're going to have to learn to win games like that. Things get more physical. Things start to grind. Things slow down.
Right.
Come playoff basketball. And not as much in the modern game as it has in the past, but it still does. And so while I get Mike Brown's frustration, you'd rather control the tempo and the speed of the game than letting your opponent do it. To me, there's something encouraging about the fact that they did that and you were still able to win that basketball game. You know what I mean? We talk about being versatile in the ways that you can win basketball games. They showed me last night that even if it does get slowed down to the point that it did last night, if it gets bogged down and made a little bit ugly as the Knicks were able to make it last night, you can still find ways to win basketball games. Now, part of that is the Knicks, for all the offensive rebounds, they were just shooting the ball awful all night. And you're not often gonna get that when you're going against the playoff. They could not shoot for the life of them.
When we previewed the game in this very segment yesterday, that was like the last note I had was this team is not a good shooting team.
They had 17 more field goal attempts than the Kings last night
because they had 5,000 offensive rebounds.
23.
It felt like 5,000. It felt like 5,000 that one possession when they grabbed five.
Yeah, it did.
So we're about keeping people accountable, right?
Yes.
Mike Brown's about keeping people accountable.
If there's one thing this show is about.
That's right.
It's keeping people accountable.
Right. So I'm going to keep Coach Brown accountable here. Because he came out in the post game and he criticized Domas and Fox and some other things. I thought Coach Brown had a pretty tough fourth quarter. The first thing I would say is starting the fourth quarter without both Domas and Fox on the floor, yikes. Can't happen. Can't happen. It just can't happen. And if people think it's a Fox hammy thing, no, Fox is not even on the injury report.
No, it was
today.
That he had four fouls.
Well, yeah, but you can't have both guys. Like, you have to stagger minutes. You can't. I mean, he put them back in there, both of them, in 90 seconds.
Yeah, no.
So it wasn't that much of a detriment. And Knicks went on a 7-1 run to start the fourth quarter. Didn't like it. Also, and this is something that this is not just a Coach Brown thing. This is an all NBA coach thing. Can you learn when to challenge plays? We have to stop the really early challenges. That challenge last night was atrocious from Coach Brown. Number one, it was an obvious foul. When they showed the replay, Domas, it was obvious he jumped into the defender. Yeah, it. at first glance, it looked like he might have been able to keep his verticality, but when they showed the replay, it was obvious that Domas fouled him. That's number one. Number two, it was only Domas's fourth foul. It wasn't like he picked up his fifth in the fourth quarter, and then you're trying to, you know, save him from being one foul and done. He only had three fouls at that point. So you don't have to challenge that. Also, there was 6 minutes and 19 seconds left in a close game.
I was just going to ask you, I don't remember how much time was left in the game.
6:19.
Yeah, that's really early to be burning that, especially in a close game where you might need that in the last few minutes.
You can't burn your challenge then. And even worse, using that challenge and it being an unsuccessful challenge, he lost the timeout. That left the Kings with one timeout over the final 6+ minutes. That's terrible. So, not good.
He had a rough quarter.
Rough quarter. But again, these are things that you learn, and when you learn with a win, it's fine. It's great. You got through with it.
And if Mike Brown is saying after the game that, hey, we got it, but we got to be better, I think Mike Brown probably looks in the mirror and says the same thing.
I would agree with that. I would imagine that Coach Brown is very accountable to himself and his staff, yes.
By the way, LeBron James tweeted 32 minutes ago to the question of who should be Coach of the Year. From Legion Hoops, he said, hands down, all caps, Mike Brown got them boys hooping.
There you go. Hooping.
With a salute emoji.
Some other rough numbers that you need to tighten up. I'm confident they'll be fine here, but they only shot 31% from three last night. I mean, again, this speaks to the team's resilience, right? Coach didn't have a great fourth quarter. You shot only 31% from three. I thought their third quarter offense was bad. Final 5 or 6 minutes, their shot selection. I felt like there was a little bit of hero ball in the final 5 or 6 minutes of that third quarter. Way too many quick threes. Not enough ball movement, man movement. I thought guys started to press because the Knicks started to come back. And I thought there was a 5 to 6 minute stretch there to end that third quarter where guys were kind of rushing shots and taking bad shots. And the third quarter offense wasn't great. They missed 8 free throws. They'll be fine there. And this is very different. They gave up 23 fast break points to the Knicks last night. And we've talked about this, Rami. One of the things defensively that the Kings have been really good at is limiting fast break points.
Yeah.
They gave up 23 last night. And I'm still concerned about the backup five. And I know some people aren't, but Metu gave you nothing last night. I'm still concerned about that backup five spot. I really am.
I think it's Trey Lyles. I think that's your backup five at this point.
But the matchup, I know. That's the thing, matchup dependent. So, but anyway, again, those are things you tighten up. No panic or any of that. It was a really good win on national television, and it's great that you won a game when those things went wrong for you. It shows that this team responds and that they're resilient, which is what we've seen all year long. Callbacks coming up.
Phone lines.
The phone is ringing.
And we are checking to see who's on the line.
Long-time listener, first-time caller.
News, gossip, a story.
Okay, who's the next victim?
It's the callback.
On Cattles and Rami.
All right, so we were joined by our friend Tom Deerberger on the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline. Of course, don't forget Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. So, Tom works for NBC Sports Bay Area, writes about the Kings. And Rami, we asked Fox, we asked Deerberger, I'll be okay.
Yeah, you know, Friday, 5:30,
Friday,
man.
About 30 minutes left.
We're going to get to that finish line,
I'm on
Nick.
4 hours of sleep. It's good.
Be all right.
Here, Deerberger
like
on
an hour away from that IPA.
You not. Stop pretending.
I'm gassed, folks. No, here was Deerberger on Fox cooking in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I mean, he was I will never get tired of watching Fox cook in the fourth quarter. You know, like I will watch that every single night. So, you know, there is an argument to make on, you know, whether Fox should be more aggressive in the first quarter. And I think that's super fair to say. I think he had 2 points last night in the first quarter. So, if he gets, you know, a little more active in the opening minutes, I'm sure that would take some stress off of Kings fans watching the game at home. But, you know, like he did what he did. He went off for 15 points in the fourth. And I think he knew that the national spotlight was on. And And he made the most of it. It's always fun to watch.
And yeah, I mean, it'd be nice to see four quarters of fourth quarter Fox, you know, or a little bit, some appearances by fourth quarter Fox earlier in the game. But Nick, I don't know if there's anything necessarily wrong with the tactic, the rhythm, the flow of a basketball game of letting Domas and maybe Kevin Huerter or Keegan Murray or whoever else sort of work the body for three quarters, wear them down. And then the fastest player in the game, hoop to hoop, goes out there with fresh legs and ready to close the thing out. I'm not saying I don't want De'Aaron Fox to be better in the first three quarters. I'm just saying this is working. This is working, and I don't know that anybody is going to necessarily stop it from working.
It's been working for the most part. I think, you know, Coach Brown came out and said he'd like to see Fox be a little bit more aggressive early in the game, and I agree with Coach Brown. I thought last night, especially with that matchup, I thought Foxy could have cooked. I thought he could have had, you know, a 45-50-point night if he wanted to. And, you know, getting, I don't know how many points he had in the first half, but there's been a number of games, especially lately, where, you know, you look up, and even though he had the 30-point string, he has had games where he's, you know, less than 10 points in the first half.
Oh, yeah.
I just think, like, if he could play just a bit more aggressive in the first half, not go crazy and empty the gas tank, but if he could play a little bit more aggressive in that first half, then maybe you build a bigger lead. Maybe he doesn't have to play as many minutes, and then maybe he doesn't have to be a superhero in the fourth quarter. Yes, it's fun to watch, but is it necessary? Not if they get going a little bit earlier. And I think your margin for error and being able to, you know, play around a little bit and have these close games once you get to the postseason, it's much tougher to have these fourth quarters over and over and over again once you get to that playoff basketball. Also, we asked Tom Derberger again. He was on the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline. We asked Tom if he thinks this Kings team is a playoff lock.
I think it is. You know, coming out of the All-Star break, we were a bit concerned with the teams right below the Kings in the standings. You know, the Suns just got Durant. The Warriors were getting healthy, and everyone still expects them to make a big push. But it's, you know, after the All-Star break, it's kind of just been a perfect scenario for the Kings. They're 7-1. You know, Phoenix, you know, Durant might be out for the rest of the regular season. The Clippers are 4-6 in their last 10. The Mavericks were expected to make a big push. They're 3-7 in their last 10. So, I mean, everything's played out. I mean, I think we will be watching the Kings have home court advantage in the first round of the playoffs this year, which is super exciting.
Everything's coming up Kings, man. I'm not here to take joy in anybody's misfortune, celebrate injuries by any means whatsoever. But, man, everything in the West is coming up Kings to the point where, yeah, Nick, it's looking like earlier today, by the way, if you missed it, Nick locked him into the playoffs. It's a lock, according to Nick Cattles.
It's a lock.
He was the last one.
That's right.
To get on that train. But now it's almost looking like a lock that they're getting a home series, Nick, given the way, not just that they've played, they deserve a lot of credit for the way that they've played, but the way the other chips have fallen around the Western Conference, you couldn't ask for much more in terms of help from the universe or the basketball gods to be in the situation that you're in right now.
I mean, you look at it, the Kings, 2 seed, tied with the Grizzlies, but they own the tiebreaker against the Grizzlies. Big game tomorrow night against Phoenix, tiebreaker. Implications in that game as well. Standing implications. The Suns are 2.5 games behind you. They've won 4 in a row. Of course, no KD. But they're good without KD. They've beat you without KD before. But then you look at the rest of the teams. I mean, once you get to the 5th seed, the Clippers are 5.5 games behind you. In the loss column, the Clippers are 7 games behind you. So are the Warriors. So are the Timberwolves. So are the Mavericks. You have a 7-game pad in the loss column against the seeds 5 through 8. And you have an 8-game lead in the loss column with the Lakers and the Pelicans, teams 9 and 10. Looking great. So there you have it, our callback for today. Thanks to Tom Derberger for joining us from NBC Sports Bay Area. Let's go out to the phones, talk some Kings. Jeff is up next. Hey, Jeff, what's going on?
How you doing? Thank you for having me on.
Thanks for calling.
I just want to say I'm entertained by your show. You got a lot of great points. And
thank you, sir.
What I got out of last night's game was that Mike Brown has evolved as a great coach. He is not the same coach that he was at the Lakers or at Cleveland. He learned quite a bit of how to handle the microphone because of Steve Kerr, and he uses that to motivate his people. And then the other thing I got is that I love listening to Malik and Foxy. He is not acting the same. He is acting ultra confident, like, you know what, I'm here, and my team's here, and we're going to make an impact. They're not going away easy. And my last comment is that Mike's using these last 17 games like a preseason for a playoff run. He wants them to be intense because that's what's going to be the month after this end of the season.
Jeff, thanks for the phone call. We appreciate it. Thanks for listening and the kind words about the show as well. Fantastic call. I mean, I can't disagree with really anything. You look at the experience that Coach Brown had at Golden State, and I think that's a big deal. Steve Kerr, Kenny Atkinson, some good, well-respected coaches, especially Kerr. I think that matters. I think Mike Brown did learn a decent amount from Coach Kerr and saw that program work. I also agree with the idea of Coach Brown, you know, coming out and criticizing Domas and Fox. Rami, we talked about this earlier in the show. He is setting a different standard. He wants those guys to take the next step in leadership. He wants to make sure that there are no loose ends, that he's not trying to tie up. Because as you get to playoff basketball, especially, I think the biggest point last night and why Coach Brown was as disappointed as he was in the postgame, and I don't think he was doing that disingenuously. Right. I think genuinely, Mike check. I think genuinely he was, you know, sitting there picking apart some things.
No, he wasn't putting that on.
It's the physicality. Because when you get to the playoffs, like last night, you see the difference. And that's been an issue for the Kings this year, right? Yeah. One of the things is the physicality. You see an Eastern Conference playoff team get 23 offensive rebounds and really kind of impose their force and physicality on you. I think that's one of the number one things that drove Brown crazy last night, which is, guys, if we play that way in the postseason, when the physicality is even more, we're going to lose. And we have an opportunity here. Let's not screw this up. Let's nip this in the bud right now.
And it's raising the bar, Nick. I think the Kings are where you finally got to today, which is they know they're a playoff team. They know postseason basketball is coming. Last night in one of his quotes, De'Aaron Fox, when asked about playing on national TV, says, once we get in the playoffs, not if we get in the playoffs, once we get in the playoffs, that's every night. So they're at that point. And I think Mike Brown knows they're at that point, and there can be a little bit of let. Like, we set out to make the playoffs, job done.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And maybe a little bit of let up. And Mike Brown is saying, no. The bar just gets raised from here. Yeah, we're probably a playoff team, but the bar just gets raised from here. And if we want to do something in the playoffs, this is how we do it. And we don't let some of the stuff that happened in this game tonight happen again.
And I love the consistency. The don't let go of the rope. It's the reason why in preseason games, Coach Brown's calling quick timeouts. It's the reason why during regular season games, you come out in the second half, within 45 seconds, something goes wrong and Coach Brown calls a timeout. He doesn't always do it, but it's this idea of urgency. Do not let go of the rope. We're a good basketball team. We have a chance to do some really good things here. Don't overlook any little detail. Anthony from Elk Grove earlier on the text line, 916-339-1140. Love hearing this from Coach Brown when he called out Domas and Fox. All good coaches should push their players even in a win. I agree. Even when things go fairly well and you win a basketball game, you can still get your point across. We wrap up the week in other news coming up next.
Did you catch all the week's headlines? Check the headline. Hey, let the fellas fill you in on this week's In Other News.
All right, before we get into in other news, one more text I wanted to hit. Rusty in Yuba City, 916-339-1140.
Rusty!
Mike check number two of the hour. You were doing pretty good up until this hour.
Hey.
And you just fell apart.
It's almost 6 o'clock on
You collapsed.
Friday,
see? I was feeling it last segment. The Light the Beam segment was one of your best and funniest segments ever. Keep doing things like that. So there you go. Rusty put a good one in the suggestion box.
Thank
Keep doing
Rusty.
Stuff like that.
Appreciate you.
All right.
Check out our elbow segment. That was good, too.
Mm, Brock Purdy. Yeah.
Or listen to the end of the show.
Or just stay tuned for another 10 minutes or so. All right. So in other news, Rami, you can start off.
Let me start off. Why don't I start off? Did you hear the latest involving Tiger Woods?
A little bit, yeah.
Tiger Woods' ex-girlfriend, Erica Herman, has accused the golf star of tricking her into leaving his Florida mansion.
How did that happen?
The court papers state that those working on behalf of Woods' trust convinced Herman to pack a suitcase for a short vacation.
Oh, no.
And when she arrived at the airport, they told her she had been locked out of her residence in violation of the oral tenancy agreement.
She went to the
and
airport.
And in violation of Florida law. Herman alleges that Woods paid for a hotel room and certain expenses for a short period of time and frightened her away from returning to the property. Those working for Woods subsequently removed her personal belongings and took $40,000 in cash that belonged to her before making scurrilous and defamatory allegations about how she obtained the money.
I don't even know what that
word
means.
The scurrilous?
I don't know what that is.
I don't know either.
It sounds bad.
In the landlord filing, Herman claimed the couple had an oral agreement that ensured she could live at the mansion for a total of 11 years, and she still had 5 years remaining when the golf star called it quits on their relationship.
11-year agreement?
Dude, I find it very hard to believe that not married Tiger Woods was like, yeah, live with me for 11 years, no matter what happens.
Scurrilous.
Mi casa es su casa.
Scurrilous.
Making or spreading scandalous claims about someone with the intention of damaging their reputation.
That adds up.
Like pretty much slander.
Yeah, that adds up. But you know what this is?
What is this?
This is Tiger saying, I ain't getting a golf club through my back window again.
I'm not going through that.
We're going to make a nice clean break of
this
thing.
This will be a clean cut.
Yeah. I'm not taking any chances, man.
I got no more use for this guy.
Simone, I got to ask you. I'm
not having an Elon incident all over again, all right?
On a level from annoyed to homicidal, where are you at on this? If you're the female.
I know. That's pretty bad. She got dogged.
She went to the airport.
I know.
She walked into the airport. She's like looking around like.
We can slap some fools around for this one.
Where's Tiger? I thought we were going to the Bahamas.
Simone, do you go back to the house?
With the club and the. Yeah.
With the club or without the club? Do you go back?
Yeah, probably.
You'd be banging on that front door.
Whole set of golf clubs.
It's got to be gated, right? Standing out the gate.
Give me the nine.
Come out here right now.
Just tossing golf clubs
wedge.
Over the gate.
He's a sand wedge. Like that.
Tiger was not having another Elon Nordegren situation on his hands.
Did you see what happened with Nick Cannon and Kevin Hart this week?
I did.
So
I was taken aback.
There was a cryptic post about big news. Social media followers believed that Nick Cannon's 13 child. Nick, take a breath, man. Just take a breath. You know? Probably need a TO for a year or two.
Come up for air, dude.
His 13th child.
Friends call me Slick Nick.
So Cannon revealed that he was partnering with fellow comedian Kevin Hart for a game show titled Who's Having My Baby with Nick Cannon. The caption on a post that his verified Instagram account read, we're expecting ... a new show on E, # Who's Having My Baby. And so many people.
I bought it.
You bought it.
I believed it.
Yeah, you said during a break one of the shows this week, you're like,
because
did you see this thing?
Nick Cannon has 13 children, and TV and entertainment has gotten to a point where that sounds reasonable.
Can we have a show of, like, Philip Rivers versus Cannon? Who has the next kid? Who has the next kid quickest?
Nick Cannon has an advantage.
Who's next?
Because Philip Rivers, he's only got one woman that he's... Nick Cannon can be, you know, pulling multiple slot machines.
Oh, my God. Over, under on Nick Cannon babies in the future?
Like, when all is said and done?
At least 20.
Wyoming. What do you mean?
All right, so here's something crazy. I got a trivia question for
all
you.
All right.
And by the way, it was all a prank.
It was a prank. Well, a prank. No, it's a real show.
Yeah, it's a... Yeah.
But it's like a sketch.
It's a prank show.
Yeah, exactly.
And so the whole idea was that they were making people believe...
Yes.
That...
Like me.
This was actually going to be a show.
Like my foolish
Which
self.
I think says an awful lot about us as human beings.
Yeah, that's
that,
what I'm
that, yeah, that we could believe that like, this would be a show and people would watch the show.
I was like, yeah, that's crazy. But I could see that happening.
All right, so here's the game I want to play.
Okay.
This might be an easy giveaway, though,
all right,
if I ask you it.
Okay.
Who's older, Phillip Rivers or Nick Cannon?
Oh. That is a good question.
Who was older, Rivers or Cannon?
Simone.
I feel like this is a trick.
I'm going to say Nick Cannon.
I'll say Nick Cannon as well.
Ah. Nick Cannon's like a year or two in front of me. I'm going Nick. Yeah, I'm going Nick.
Phillip Rivers is 41 years old.
Yeah. Nick's 42.
Nick Cannon's 42.
Yes.
Really? Wow.
I would have never guessed Nick Cannon's 42 years old.
No, he...
No. Yeah.
He looks... I mean, for a guy who's got 13 kids, it's not wearing
on
him, apparently.
12. He's still
12,
working
I'm
on
sorry.
13.
It's not wearing on him.
No.
I got friends. I got friends with 2-3 kids, and they look like they've been put through the ringer.
Do you think he said... That's true. Do you think he... I have no kids, and sometimes I look like I've been through the ringer. Do you think he regrets the 8 years that he was with Mariah Carey, thinking, like, I could be up to, like, 20 right now?
No, I wouldn't think so. No. He made babies with Mariah Carey, man. I would imagine no regrets.
Well, he's also Nick Cannon. He's not Rami Makhlouf, with all due respect.
Though. I'm just saying.
That's, I don't think Nick has any problem in that territory.
It's Mariah Carey. I don't care who you are. That's
who is
Mariah,
it, Rami?
That's Mariah Carey.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Mm. I know he has I'm trying to look for the kids' names. Aren't they like...
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Are they?
I think there's like a theme to them.
Are they out there? Oh, there's a theme.
I think so.
So maybe we could tell by the names how many babies he's going for. Because if there's a theme, you would think eventually that well runs dry. And he runs out of names if there's a theme.
I'm on like Wikipedia. I don't know where I could get all the kids' names. It's not working. But I think there's a theme. I don't know.
Sage, Legendary, yeah. Zen, Onyx,
Golden's,
Powerful.
Golden Saigon?
Zion, Rise.
Hold on. The one kid is Zion Mixoldion?
Yeah,
that sounds like a medication. That sounds like something my doctor prescribed to me.
That's awful. All right, so what else do we have? Simone, do you have in other news for us?
Am I wrong?
You know, Rami, are you watching? I don't know. Well, I'll throw this out to the group.
Yes.
Are you guys watching The Last of Us right now?
No.
I want to, but I have not.
You for
don't
that.
Like a lot of people die.
Never heard of it.
I know. It's on my list.
It's
Simone.
A very popular HBO show right now. It's kind of like an apocalyptic zombie situation.
Yeah.
I guess it's not really going to hit with you guys if you don't really know what I'm talking about. But apparently it's a real thing. This whole cordyceps like fungus is...
Wait, the fungus from the show caused the apocalypse?
The CDC put out
don't
a
do
tweet.
That.
Yeah. The CDC put out a tweet.
Is this how it we want to end the
don't
week?
Do that to Nick, of all people.
It is a fungus, but it only infects ants.
We're in Vegas next week.
It only affects ants
a lot
right
of
now.
Fungi in Vegas, man.
Right now. She had to throw in right now.
Yeah, JJ and I are going to be in Vegas hanging out.
Wow. Wow.
Just ants. Only ants. It only affects ants.
She was like, hey, you know that world-ending fungus in that post-apocalyptic movie? Nick,
it's
the germaphobe before
good
you go
time.
To Vegas next week? Yeah. That's real.
It's actually a thing.
That's a real thing.
And it kind of happens, like, in our timeline right now. So that's fun.
Thanks, Simone.
Thank you.
That is terrible.
Like, what are we...
He's sanitizing right now.
He literally just took a hit of the sanitizer in his hand. that's... thanks, Simone. Appreciate it. We'll go into the weekend feeling good
it's
about
awful.
That. Appreciate
that
it.
Is that is terrible.
Wow. All right, so we're short on time. I want to take a spin around the room.
And we're all going to die.
Tomorrow night. If we don't die.
Speak for yourself, Rami.
I'm going to handle mine.
Tomorrow night in Phoenix.
Tomorrow night in Phoenix. Kings win.
Big game.
Yeah.
Tiebreaker purposes.
And yeah, to put some distance between yourself and them in the standings. Lock up that two seed.
Simone, you feeling a dub?
Whew. I'm going to breathe in and say this. Yes.
They got this.
JJ?
Let's eat.
Oh, I hate to be negative, Nancy. I don't think they win in the desert, unfortunately.
I've got to go for it because it was on my list of on the record. So, number 40 tomorrow night at Phoenix. Let's go.
You're
locked into
that.
Everybody have a fantastic weekend other than Kyle, who's still dressed terribly on the other side of the glass. JJ and Simone, great job. Rami, have a good weekend, man.
Same to you.
Everybody be good, be healthy, be safe. Enjoy the basketball over the weekend. Enjoy the fun. Until Monday, it's Cattles and Rami, Sacktown Sports.